Open up our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Man, it's good to be saved today, ain't it? And I thank God for the good grace of God on our lives. Hebrews chapter number 11. Man, I appreciate that good singing this morning, choir singing, Sunday school hour. I'd encourage you to get you a copy of that. It'll be a blessing to your soul, and it'll help you get down the road. And you pray for us real good. The Lord help us today. I want to say just what the Lord have us to. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And you hear me say oftentimes, you're going to preach out of the book of Hebrews, you just start wherever you open your Bible up at. That'll be a good place to preach right there in the book of Hebrews. You're going to look in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'll read the first four verses. We'll pray and ask the Lord to help us. Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Seemed like that one verse would sort of debunk the Big Bang Theory. Far as I would be concerned, God made stuff out of stuff that nobody knew about was stuff yet. Amen. Next verse he says this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. Hey, unto God, we sure thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. I pray for a few minutes of time that, Lord, that you would help us to say exactly what you've laid on our heart. I pray that, God, that we'd not let flesh get in the way. I pray, God, you'd put a guard at my mouth and help me. That, God, that I'd not say one thing contrary to your precious word. I pray tonight that, God, that you'd help us to preach in power and with unction from the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, for a few minutes of time today that you would set our eyes solely on the blessed Lamb of God, the only one, Lord, and we came to exalt and to magnify. I want to tell you, Lord, right now, I thank you for what I can feel in my heart, and I trust that you're going to help us today. I thank you for every song that was sang. God, I sure enough thank you that, and Lord, over and over again, you've come passing by my way. And, Lord, I've never earned it. I've never deserved it. God, I know today that, Lord, I deserve hell. But I'm sure thankful for the good grace of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us if you see us the last time we ever get to say anything. I pray, Lord, you'd help me to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Christ's name, we humbly beg and ask all these favors. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in verse number 4. And the Bible says this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. I want you to notice this last phrase. He said, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I thought about what you find in the life of Abel. Yes, a man, he had a lot to say in his life. But what we find in his death is that the grave might kill the messenger, but it did not stop the message. Amen. I want to say this to you today, friend. I thank God you can read over in the book of Acts and you can find that they beheaded James, the brother of Christ. But before that very chapter is over, God has risen up another James. I want you to understand, thank God, there will be a time, if time should stand, that every one of us here today will lay down our Bible, we'll say the last message, we'll sing the last song, but long after my tombstone is up, the message will still be going out. Christ came to save sinners. Amen. I thank God. Listen, CNN and MSNBC, all the liberals can be against it, but the message is still clear. Folks can tell it improperly, but the message is still clear. Christ came to seek and to save that which is
cross. Amen. I want you to hear me, friend. I thought about in my life, listen, I'm not morbid or nothing like that. I just happened to stand in a many a grave. I've happened to be there preaching when a lot of folks have passed away. We've lowered them down for the last time. I've stood in Arlington and have been there whenever they have marched back and forth to the tomb of the unknown soldier. Let me say, that's mighty powerful right there. I put my hand on the Vietnam veterans wall and I watched grown men just sit there and weep as they think about what had transpired in those days. And listen, y'all know this tonight. I'm trying to keep a governor on it until I can get there. But I want to say this. You know, I don't preach based on the calendar. But if there's one day you can about guarantee it's going to stir something up inside my soul, it is Memorial Day. There is something about the fact that we're standing here and that we're as free as we can be because somebody gave their life. Amen. I say, thank God, thank God. Hey, something about, listen, we ain't speaking German today. That's a mighty big blessing. Amen. Hey, thank God. I'm not speaking Italian today. Amen. I'm not speaking Japanese today. Thank God. Hey, listen, it's because of God's good grace that we are free. Amen. I'm saying this to you. Thank God. Let me give you. I won't preach on this thought tonight, and I'll try not to be too long, but I might be real long. You can't never tell. But I want to preach on this thought on the sounds of silence. And the sounds of silence. I've walked by many a grave, and they've never said a word. Thank God. I've walked up and down there, read many a tombstones, and to thank God, and there's not never been one time that one person beyond the grave has ever talked to me. And yet, as I have read their epitaphs, I'll tell you what I like particularly. This might not do nothing for you, but it sure stirs my heart. It's when I pass by a grave, and they always cut those little World War II emblems at the bottom of their grave, and I think, man, thank God. Thank God there was somebody who loved us enough to go fight for us. Amen. You'll not find no God flag hating liberal in this church. Amen. I'm for America. I'm for God. I'm for our country. And if you ain't got to come back. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. I'm saying this to you, friend. Where we stand, we ought to thank God we're free. Amen. A sound of silence. I thought about the first point. That when we passed by the grave of Abel, the first grave that was ever dug, the first man that was ever buried, there are some things that he says to us that still to this day, sounds of silence. I thought about the first day. I'm talking about when I get close to that grave and I just kneel my ear down there real good and I start listening the first thing and I hear Abel say, and the first thing we learn about his life is that Abel was a man of faith. He wasn't just a man of faith, he was the first man of faith. Amen. You remember that Adam and Eve, they got to see and walk. But according to the book of Hebrews, the very first man of faith was Abel. It said, by faith, Abel. Amen. That's the very first person you think. I thought about this, friend. How many folks have died in our soil? How many folks have died in foreign lands for you and I to live in this place? I read this statistic. I don't know how right it is, but it said there's an estimate between 1.2 and 1.3 million soldiers have died in America fighting for your freedom. Hey, man, that's a mighty big deal, I'd say, don't you guess? I mean, that's a mighty big deal, thank God. I was reading particularly one of the things that I thought about as it said on D-Day. I mean, back there, whenever they stormed the beaches of Normandy, it said that on that Omaha beach that day, that they had told their men, they said, men, you're going to get off this boat, but most of you are not going to live. I read about one company, Company A, one of the first people that land on that shore. I said over 90% of the men did not come back alive. And they knew they wasn't. Inside that company, there's a man called the Bedford Brothers. I said, there's 34 men. Of the 34 men in that little hometown, 19 of them did not come back. Here's the thing. Before they ever stepped foot on that shore, they said, press forward. Press forward. They knew they were going to die. But if they did not die, those coming behind them would not live. Amen. And let me say this to you, friend. I got to thinking about another man that came down from another place. And he knew whenever he came down to this earth that he was going to die. There was no doubt about it. It was not 50-50. It wasn't 75-25. My friend, he came for this purpose, that he might give his life. I'd say, dear friend, you don't understand. Maybe we have forgotten the fact that if he had not came and died, and you and I would not live. But good news, good news, good news, amen. He did come, amen. Thank God he did not storm at the beaches of Normandy, but he walked up Calvary's hill. Thank God he didn't have just one enemy firing at him. He had all of eternity bearing down on his soul. God himself even bruised his own son that day, and yet he gave his life. And thank God, listen, let me remind you today, it was a lot of those men that lost their lives. It was a lot of men in Normandy that had their lives taken, but not Christ, amen. He didn't lose his life, and nobody took it, amen. Thank God, he gave his life that you and I might be born again. Thank God he died that you and I might live, amen. And when you pass by old Abel's grave, and you say, Abel, what's that sound like? Abel said, by faith, I just trusted God's word, amen. I find it amazing today, folks, trying to figure out how to be saved, and when God gave us such simple instructions about how to be born again. Thank God, God did not complicate what it looks like to be saved. He didn't complicate what it is to be born again by the grace of God. You know what he did? Yes, he had faith in God's word. He said, God said, this is what to bring. I believe I'll just bring that. Amen. And listen to me, friend. I want to thank God tonight. I don't have to go based on my sight. I don't have to go based on how I feel. I don't have to go based on how things seem. I'm glad tonight, thank God, I can base my salvation on what the word of God says. Amen. At what he said. And the Bible said that God had respect unto his offering. I promise you, if God gave you a word, God will respect his word. Amen. I thought not only did he respect God's word, I thought he had faith in God's ways. I mean, listen, it don't make much sense, friend. Go bring a lamb. But little did he know that was the plan from the very foundation of the world, is that there must be a lamb. Amen. I want to tell you this, good neighbor. You can bring whatever you want to bring, and there's a lot of folks going to, but God won't be impressed with anything other than a lamb. Amen. He's not impressed with your singing. He's not impressed with your preaching. He's not impressed with your service. He's only impressed with his son. Amen. If you bring anything other than the lamb, friends, you're going to die and wind up in hell. It doesn't matter. I can't stress enough. Hey, you say, preacher, you say stuff like this all the time, because I'm convinced in America that folks think they're going to heaven because they're good husbands or good people or they're good neighbors. But I'm telling you, good people die and go to hell, amen. Thank God, that's right. Hey, you say, preacher, that don't sound right. I was talking with a fellow one day, and he said, Mother Teresa. He said, Brother Kevin, you think Mother Teresa died and went to hell as good as she's been to everybody? I said, if Mother Teresa didn't trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, and she died and went to hell, it doesn't matter how good a work she's done. Thank God, the old wicked sinner, as evil as he's been, and the old thief on the cross, and that trusted Christ in that hour, and despite how wrong he was, and despite how messed up he was, he got one thing right, and it was the only thing that mattered. He trusted Christ for salvation. And thanks be to God, friend. I don't have to trust nothing else. I'm glad I can rest in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, walk by his grave. And Abel dries up. If you'll listen real close, he'll say, this is a time of faith. But I thought about this, friend, not only is it a time of faith, but I got to thinking about if you'll go by Abel's grave and you'll listen to the sound of silence, and what you'll hear is the sound of fighting. How you understand that freedom's not free? Everybody understand that? I mean, I read this one time, and it said that if we'd only remember the cost of victory, we would never forget the meaning of freedom. Amen. Hey, y'all, right there. Smile at me. Let me know that you're with me, all right? Hey, boy, I like that real good. Hey, said, if you'll thank God, never forget the cost of victory. Hey, you'll never forget the meaning of freedom. Amen. Hey, you know why so many folks has gotten over being saved? Yes, they have forgotten the cost of that victory. Amen. And we'll sing victory in Jesus. Hey, boy, we'll sing it. There ain't nothing stirring. We just like the beat of that music. And thank God more folks shout when you get to the third verse about their mansion in heaven. And then they do about Christ Jesus giving his life for your soul and mine. I'm telling you, friend, don't you ever forget that in order for you to be free tonight, I had them boys sing that. Thank God I'm free, free, free. But don't you ever forget, in order for you to have that freedom, have they plucked the beard from his face for you to have it. And don't forget, friend, in order for you to have that freedom, have they made long furrows in his back. And don't you forget, for you to have that freedom, have that they beat him beyond recognition, have that every bone in his body was broken. And my friend, that was the cost of your victory and of my victory today. And so you'll just have to forgive me if I get a little excited sometime. And when they sing, and thank God I'm free, and free, free. And we were captives, held under sin's bondage, and with no hope to get out, and prisoners of war. But thanks be unto God, and the captain of our salvation came to where we was, as we was, has stormed hell's gates and set us free. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Oh, listen, I got to thinking about when there's, you know what the most deadly war that we've lost the most soldiers in? I think there's something to be said about this. At the deadliest war on American soil with American men did not come from World War II or World War I. That was not a war from without. It was a war from within. Oh, listen, if you pass by and you listen to the sounds of silence that come from Abel's grave, you'd hear that Abel was righteous. But there's also somebody there that was unrighteous. And the unrighteous have always hated the righteous. Amen. And to listen, it makes me so happy one of these days. That crowd says, man, I wish those Bible believers would be gone. I'd just hold on to your hats, neighbor, a little longer. And you're going to get what you wish for. Amen. Thank God, thank God. How you say, preacher, what happens when the church is gone? And that restraining spirit of the Holy Ghost is gone too. And all hell breaks loose on earth. I'm telling you, and I'll be safe in the presence of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, thank God. I'm telling you, listen, friend, I got to thinking about how the things. Now, here's the sad part. When you pass by Abel's grave, you got to understand there's a little bit of Cain in everybody here today. There may be a little bit of Abel, but there's a little bit of Cain. And everybody here today, amen. I just say, preacher, what's that? The greatest battle I have. And my enemy is not you, amen. Y'all understand that today, thank God. I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Hey, you're not my enemy. The church down the road's not my enemy. I mean, Baptists talk about other Baptists, but Chase, they're not my enemy. That's not who I'm fighting against. I'm telling you, thank God, listen. And probably the greatest fight I have in my life is when I look up in the mirror every day. And that fella staring back at me. And man, he gives me a lot of problems. I thought about this. You find Cain's way. I'd listen, Cain's like this. Abel accepted God's way. And Cain went his own way. Anybody in here rejected God's way for your own way before? Amen. And knowing what's right. And knowing what God said. And you'll say, now I know, listen. There's a many of folks that'll say, now I know what God says right there. But this is, you know, 2026 after all. And he might have said that back then, but that surely don't mean that like it does today. I'm telling you, friend, if God ever did say it, thank God it meant just what he said it meant. God ain't changed his mind on sin, amen. Let me say, while I'm here, God ain't changed his mind on shacking up neither, amen. God ain't changed his mind on drinking liquor. God ain't changed his mind on lottery tickets. God ain't changed his mind on none of that. God, hey, listen, God still stands where he has always stood. Amen. And listen, just because there's a shifting sand in the world, you say, I always hear these words like this. I say, Brother Kevin, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Thank God. The funny thing is, that's the same thing Eve said right before she took of the fruit of the tree. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Hey, it don't matter what God said. I'm telling you, friend, it'll destroy your life. Go in your own way. Amen. And there's enough of us in this room that's had Cain. I've got that Cain living on the inside of me. And I don't know what's right sometimes. And despite doing what God's word, and knowing what God's word said, that Cain said, Kevin, won't you just go your own way? How won't you just do it your own way? Amen. Y'all listen to me right there. It does still say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, don't it? I mean, we know what God's word says. But then we'll just justify. Listen, I'm not going to kill the service. I'm going to get to the good part. I'm just saying this, you know, amen. Y'all know, ain't that right? And we know what's right and what's not right, thank God. And we know what we ought to wear and what we ought not to wear. And thank God, we know what we ought to say and what we ought not to say. Don't you think that's right? I can't imagine there's anybody sits in this church staying here very long and we don't know that you ought not. Out of the same fountain proceed both blessings and cursings. And my brethren, these things ought not so to be. And let all be dressed in modest apparel. And that's what the Bible says, and it really don't matter what we feel about it, amen. Oh yes, listen, let me say this to you today. I got thinking about, friend, you get in that place, there's a little bit of God's. There's that Cain in us that wants our way versus God's way. And then I started thinking about that Cain in us. That Cain's full of pride and not humility. I see, I'll put that point in the next point because I wanted you to see this. What I just said right then, it reared up pride in some folk. And they said, I ain't going to be told what to do. And could I look up here at me? Everybody look at me real quick. And whenever God tells you to do something, and when you see Him in His holiness, you'll do it just like He said He did. Amen. And you say, preacher, I ain't going to do nothing. And well, you don't have to do nothing here. You can live your life, and you can be a hellion, you can go the way of the world, all you want to. But I'm telling you, there will come a day, friend, that as they sang that song, that Christ is going to say, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, and like it or lump it, and you're going to say, Jesus is Lord, and to the glory of the Father. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God. Listen, there's a battle on the inside of us. And far too many times there's pride rises up. And pride gets in our way. That's the way we get in trouble. But in James chapter 4, God resisteth the proud, verse 6. But He giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Hey, you want to know how to get right with God? You're going to have to deal with your pride. Amen. Thank God. And you say, preacher, I'm not proud. You was probably proud when you said that. Amen. I'm probably proud when you thought that. And the problem with Americans, even when we sing our good songs, we say, I'm proud to be an American. Oh, yeah. And there's a fellow told me one time, said, there's some pride that God's okay with. Only problem is I ain't never read that in the Bible. And what I found in the scripture is there are six things the Lord doth hate. And yea, seven are an abomination unto it. And the very first thing He lives is a proud look. Amen. It's a proud look, good neighbor. And so I want to tell you this. Instead of sitting around being proud to be something, and we ought to thank God that God's grace has shined on us and blessed us despite who we are, and to be a part of where we are. You could have been born in North Korea. Amen. I got to shout every day that you got freedom where you got it. Amen. Oh, you pass by that grave and you hear the sound of faith and you'll hear the sound of fighting. Now, I'll tell you, you pass by old Abel's grave, one sound you'll hear, that sound of silence, is the sound of freedom. Amen. You know, the Bible says whenever he sinned, and God told him over there in Genesis chapter number 4, He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not also be accepted, speaking to Cain. And He said, if thou doest not well, He said, then sin lieth at the door. And He said, none of these shall be his desire. See, right then, whenever Cain decided I was going to go my own way, really what happened in his life is he come under bondage. And while he was under bondage and bound up, Abel was as free as he had ever been. Amen. Hey, you know one of my favorite battle scenes are? I'm talking about one of my favorite battle scenes, Rodney, of all time. It happened over there in Iwo Jima. What is that, Mount Suribachi? And you got all them fellas. Everybody in here seen it. You know, you've got all those soldiers. And all those soldiers, they've got that flag. And that flag sitting right about there. Man, every time I get right about there, and I get to hearing that, there's something on the inside of me that says, hey, man, I'd like to charge that same hill. I'm talking about that American side in me comes railing up. And every time that flag starts to wave, hey, you know what that's the sound of? That's the sound of freedom, amen. at the sound of freedom. And thank God I'm under the banner of America. But I want to tell you, good neighbor, I was reading this about that. That happened in 1945. This is what it said when they planted that flag that day on Mount Suribachi. It said that did not signify the end of the war, but it signified the turning point. It said from that point forward, all the Americans knew there was only one outcome that was going to happen. And thank God I got to thinking about Calvary. I got to thinking about everybody who had ever died going up on that place. I mean, just saint after saint had died. But boy, when Christ planted Calvary, and when that cross got up there, and the blessed Lamb of God stood on it, it didn't signify that there was no more devil, and that there was no more sin. But it sent out an echo throughout eternity that the turning point had come. That man no longer had to fear death. That man didn't have to fear the grave. And the great I Am came down and went upon Calvary. And because of this today, and we are not oppressed. I am not in bondage. I'm not in bondage to sin. I'm not bound down to Satan. I'm not bound down to myself. Whom the Lord hath made free is free indeed. Amen. I say, thank God. How you say, preacher, it looks like y'all got a lot of bondage. No, I'm freer than I've ever been. I'm free to do right. I'm free to live right. I'm free to pray right. I'm free to live right. I'm free to study right. I'm free to worship right. I'm free to do right what I could never do. Amen. And I'm free to break a flag if I want to too. Amen. You just hold on to that part and I'll hold on to this one. I'm telling you this, you pass by that grave, and there's a sound of freedom there. Oh, listen, you pass by Calvary sometime, you ought to just stop right there for a minute and say, verily, man, he came manifested. Thank God to deliver them who all their lifetime were subject unto its bondage. I mean, he came to deliver us from death. I ain't got to worry about it. You get a hold of the flag now. I'm going to preach a little while longer. Let me say this last thing. I'm done preaching to you. I want you to listen to me real carefully. I got thinking about this. If you'll listen real closely, you'll hear freedom. You'll hear about faith. You'll hear about a fight. But if you'll listen real close, real close, what you'll hear, Nate's about forgiveness. You know what the Bible says? Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to listen to me. It's not necessarily going to be Abel's voice. The Bible says, Pap, whenever Abel died, that his voice cried out from the ground. God said he heard it. You know what that was? That was the voice that said there was somebody that was guilty, somebody that was under judgment, somebody that deserved justice. That's what his blood cried out, Jared. His blood said, I was innocent, Cain was guilty. Said he deserves the judgment and the justice of God. Cain standing there and he said, I died, but he should have been the one who should have died. And that's what his voice says. But I got to listen a little closer. Got to listen to that grave just a little closer. I want to read this to you, one last verse. Say a few words, I'll be done. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 22. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men make perfect. And it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood that sprinkleth, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Man, I got to listening to Abel's voice, and Abel's voice said, they are guilty. But boy, I got to listen a little closer, and I heard another voice override their voice. I heard the voice say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I thank God Abel's blood might have been precious, but I'm glad there was a better blood than the blood of Abel's. Abel's voice might have been good, but I'm glad there was a better voice than the voice of Abel. Abel's grave. I may have been pretty good, but I'm sure enough glad that there's a better grave than the grave of Abel. And you say, preacher, how can one grave be another better than the other one? And one grave is still full, but the other grave is empty. Amen. Thank God he raised up for our justification. I'm glad, thank God, that on that day, Abel's voice said, everybody deserves judgment. But instead of that, God said in 1 Peter 3:18, thank God, listen to me. He hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. I'm glad to report to you today, there was one better than you and I, that took your place, that instead of being condemned, you might be made free. Amen. Oh, listen. He said on that day, he said they deserve judgment, but I hear the voice of one better. He said instead of judgment, let's give them mercy. Amen. Let's give them mercy. I hear that voice say they deserve death, but I hear the one say, thank God. Listen, I got here this morning. This young fellow quoted me his Bible verse of the week. And you know what it was? For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's pretty good right there. But have everlasting life. I'm sure enough glad. Then you ought to died. We ought to died. We ought to be dead. We should have been in hell, and we ought to still be in hell. The only reason we ain't is because there was a mediator who shed his blood. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If I sent my son to shed his blood for you, if I sent one of my boys to die for you, and you figured you'd come up with a better way than that, don't be surprised if when you try to bring me your own way, if I don't say, that's not the right way. That's not the right way. There's folks under the sound of our voice that you're under the judgment of God. The Bible says this. I'm done preaching. The Bible says this plainly. It says this is the record. This is the record. That's what John says, ain't it? This is the record. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Plain. I've cleared. There's sounds. I'm going to ask you this, and I'm about to be done. There's going to be a day we're going to put you in the ground. And when we put you in the ground and somebody passes by your grave, they're not going to think about your death. They're going to be thinking about your life. What sound's going to come out of your grave? Will it be a sound of faith? Be a sound of faithfulness? Will it be a sound of forgiveness? Oh, listen, I don't know where you stand at. Everybody stand to your feet. Alyssa, come play. Whoever's going to get a song. I've cleared my heart before you today.